Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. It's hour two, in fact. So if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Tricia Lott Williford. She's a young woman who lost her husband tragically, a sickness that took 12 hours and he was gone, left with two little children under the age of kindergarten, and how she found a new normal. And so we really spent the hour unpacking what do you do when a life transition happens that takes your breath away, something you never wanted, never wished for, never saw coming. How do you find a new normal? How do you find your breath again and your faith again and perspective? If you're in that kind of a place, you're going to want to go back and catch the podcast. It'll be up in just a little bit on our website at myfaithradio.com. Well, now we're going to talk about how to save marriages from the brink of collapse. And it's a little known fact that in America, the common thought is when marriage gets hard, the easiest way out of the pain is to leave the marriage. But that's not actually true. And these two counselors that I have in studio today have one story after another of marriages that were hanging on by a thread. And they not only came back, they're thriving and they're in love with each other again. And they have some simple questions you can ask yourself, just simple ways to take inventory so that you can strengthen your marriage and maybe even save your marriage. We will welcome your questions throughout the hour. We've got a few copies of the one guest's book today. Title is Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage, written by Dr. George Kenworthy, who's in studio, along with Dr. Amanda Boyd. So let me not waste another minute. Let me tell you about my guests and we'll get them on. Dr. George Kenworthy is president and CEO of Reconciliation Associates and Hope for the Hurting Home. He also serves as a member of the Board of Trustees for the University of Northwestern St. Paul. He's the author of two books, Marriage Makeover and Before the Last Resort, the one we just referenced, which we're talking about today. Dr. Amanda Boyd is Chief of Counselors and Research at Hope for the Hurting Home. She has a considerable amount of experience providing various types of therapy for individuals, couples, children, families, and groups. She and her husband have a four-year-old son, Eden, and they live in Minnesota here. George and Amanda, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And we had your colleague on, Dr. Russ Berg, on it. I want to say a few months ago, probably. Mm-hmm. The hour flew by. People called. It was so intense. And it clearly touched on a nerve. I mean, because so many people are either on the brink of failing in marriage or they're barely hanging on. And so I'm so excited and honored to have you both with us today. So we do this every day, actually, but we start by talking scripture just because we love the word of God. And what it does for our listeners is to, you know, hear a verse from somebody who's saying this is alive to me right now. And this is why it brings it to life for them, because the word is living and active. So we love to do that. And George, you chose Jeremiah 32:27. I am the Lord, the God of all the people of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Talk about why you chose that passage.
Well, I chose that passage because it was probably the most significant lesson that God taught me about marriage and family. As a young pastor in Iowa City, Iowa, I had a number of people who were struggling with their marriage, and I really wanted to help them, and I didn't know what to do. And God directed me to that verse, basically as a challenge to me. Do you believe that I can do what's impossible? And it's like, well, yeah, Lord, I believe that. Well, then you need to really believe it and challenge the people to believe that. So I started at that point daring myself to believe God can do the impossible as it relates to a marriage and family. And then we just saw God do some really amazing things.
You know, George, I've interviewed a lot of people on marriage, and I have to say, I think I love your approach more than anything I've read, because you have some practical tools, but you're counting on the Word of God and the power of God to bring life where there's death, to bring beauty out of ashes. I mean, I see it. I hear it when I read your book. I can hear your voice. Do you know what I'm saying? And that really, in this day, that is our only hope. I mean, there are some tangible skills and tools for successful relationships, but without the power of God, you can just be going through the motions.
Well, especially when marriages are in real trouble. I mean, most of us know basic tools about communication and conflict resolution. They're readily available in a number of sources. But when people are really desperate, they're at the point of hopelessness where they just don't have the energy to do anything. And if you don't have God do something for you, many of us are helpless to do anything for ourselves.
Really appreciate that. And Amanda, I hope it's okay to ask you, do you have a life verse that you carry with you? Or is there just maybe a verse that God's been speaking to you about this day? And you don't even have to have a reference if you don't, but we'd just love to know.
Definitely. It's Proverbs 19:21, and it's many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the plans of the Lord that prosper. And it's right now that it's so important to me. And it was I went to bed knowing my four-year-old little guy definitely had autism, and it was something that we've been struggling with. We hadn't had a diagnosis yet, and I went to bed just crushed. And I woke up, and the verse on my phone for that day was Proverbs 19:21, and it was such a promise to me. I love that that's the name of your show, because it is not the plans that I have in my heart. And so often, I'm so reminded of that. I was just telling George that he's not the child that I expected, and I'm not the mother that I expected, and how beautiful that is, and the depth of relationship I have with the Lord because of it is beyond what I could have expected.
Oh, dear friend. Is this brand new news for you?
Just within this past year.
God bless you. I appreciate you sharing. That kind of goes along the lines of what we were just talking about this last hour. It's like the rug can be pulled out from underneath you, and you feel like you've lost your breath because it's not what you thought. And yet, even when plans go as we think, we don't have the control that we think. And so to be put in a position to so desperately lean on the power of God is a place to see the grace of God, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, bless you for sharing that. I would love to know from both of you how you came to just start to advocate for marriages and fight for marriages. And George, we'll start with you.
Well, for me, it happened as a pastor. I mean, every pastor has people who are struggling in their marriage. We may not know exactly what to say or what to do, but it's not an option. If you're in any kind of vocational ministry as a chaplain or a pastor or even teaching at a school, there are going to be occasions where you come across those folks. And I was desperate as a young pastor, wanting to be helpful, but not knowing what to do. So for me, it started with my crying out to the Lord and basically saying that, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'd had advanced level counseling courses at the seminary that I attended. It was a wonderful seminary, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago, Illinois. But even that didn't help me get past my hump. And so as I cried out for the Lord, that's when a whole thought of this verse came, and God just dared me to challenge people to follow his word, and that's what I found to be effective.
I mean, it's just downright gutsy. In fact, reading some of the things you say to people, I can't wait to read some of these things. But, I mean, you're counting on the word of God to be true, and it is true, and it proves true. It's so amazing. Amanda, how about you? How did you get a heart to fight for marriages?
Well, I went to school for it, learned about it, did it, and then I met George. And my secular training was invaluable, no question. I don't mean to discredit that, but I was seeing couples giving the tools, figuring out their idiosyncrasies, fixing the system, but had two people with very, very competing goals, their own personal marital bliss. And unless that's changed and unless that's different, which is what I saw happen with George, is it was about creating a forever marriage, and one that was honoring to God was the key. He just blesses people for that. And it's very unique.
Very good. Well, we've got a few copies of the book, Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage. Would love to get a copy in your hands if you've got questions. One of the things I love about this is stories to me draw me in, and there's so many stories. I mean, almost any scenario you can imagine, I feel like you've counseled and addressed in here. And so you're like, what happened next? What happened next? And then you see how God, really, his word comes to bear, but these people decide to dare to believe, like you're daring to believe that God's word is true. Love to get a copy in your hands. You can call anonymously if you're in a situation that you don't want to be in, if you feel like giving up, or maybe you're one of those people who you've come through the valley. We want to hear your story, because someone will hear your story and say, hey, if God did it for them, maybe he'll do it for me too. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. I love even the look of the cover of this book, Before the Last Resort, because it's a rope that's frayed down to the last thread and two rings, wedding rings, hanging on. Maybe you're there and it's not too late. Don't give up hope. 877-933-2484. And I might get names mixed up in the story, but I think I remember this name right. But it was a Michael. I think he's a friend of yours. And he would step in and preach for you on occasion. Mm-hmm. He was just a solid Christian brother.
Yep.
And so he surprised you one day when he said, you know, love my kids, don't love my wife anymore. And talk about that story, how his confession impacted you and what happened after that.
Well, Mike and I, he had been a pastor, and then he was in the secular community where I was ministering. And so he knew my world better than most anybody I knew. And we were accountability partners. We got together every Saturday morning for an hour and a half to encourage one another as fathers and men. And it was in one of those settings that he said, love my boys, just don't love my wife anymore. And as a fellow pastor who loved God and knew God's word, I couldn't just come up with a lot of trite verses, you know, because he knew all the verses. And I recognize that he did what oftentimes we do as Christians, where we get to the point where you can't do it in your own strength anymore. He didn't have the strength to do it. And so what I shared with him is, Mike, you need strength you don't have. And the Bible tells us that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one to give us that strength when we don't have it. The book of Ephesians says God has all strength, all power, all might in heavenly places. And to a church that was very weak, God said, that's what you need.
Amen.
And I just knew that's what Mike needed. But until the Spirit of God helped him, all I could do is point him in that direction and saying, I think there's hope, but this is what you need. But it was a long time after that. It didn't happen quickly.
You know what I loved about that is that you discerned, you know, Mike, you're lacking power. This has been duty for you. You're lacking power. And I like gasped when I read that, and I thought, how many marriages? But I would think a lot more often even men, just because guys, I think, are task-oriented, tend to crank it out, and they carry a lot on their shoulders. And so I'm wondering how many men are out there, you think, that are good guys but doing the duty, and it's not sustainable without the power of God. I mean, how often do you think that happens?
I think it happens a lot, and I only have to look any farther than myself.
Right.
Because in the book, you find a lot of stories about me where I messed up, and God had to confront me and show me that, well, in one case, I didn't even understand what love is, which is kind of foundational for marriage. If you're the pastor and you're supposedly writing books on marriage, but you don't know what love is, it's like, what kind of a hypocrite are you?
Mm.
And God had to stop me short and give me a very practical lesson in what it really means to love my children and my wife.
Mm, so good. And the calls are coming in. Amanda, how about you? When you've seen marriages come back from the brink, is there any story that sort of stands out to you? You can change the names, whatever you need to do, but just give us a scenario that you thought looked like it was beyond hope and there was hope again.
Certainly. There's so many. And I'd say it's a couple that is very, very non-unique in the way that they had been married, they were committed, and it was just completely dead. And I thought, oh man, this is pretty rough.
Mm.
And to see the teamwork that grew within them and the change in each of them individually as a person, but also then how they could best serve their spouse, was just quite miraculous. And it's not just one story, it's so many. And it's so often it's not a dramatic change overnight. It's God walking with them every single day.
Yeah, one faith step in front of the other, right?
It's pretty neat to see. Mm,
that's amazing. Well, we need to take a short break here. I see those calls coming in. We'll catch that anonymous call from Ramsey in just a moment. As I said, we've got 5 copies of Before the Last Resort, 3 simple questions to rescue your marriage. We're going to cover those simple questions in a moment. Talking to Dr. George Kenworthy and Dr. Amanda Boyd, 877-933-2484. Grace has got her work cut out for her, but we want to hear from you, 877-93-FAITH, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This world is full of people, the weary and the poor, waiting for the day when they will hurt no more. Though this world is full of suffering, these promises are true. We hold on to the hope that the day is coming soon.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with counselors Dr. George Kenworthy and Dr. Amanda Boyd, especially thinking and talking about marriages that are on the brink of collapse. You know what? Don't give up hope, because there's always hope. We've got a few copies of the book, Before the Last Resort, Three Simple Questions to Rescue Your Marriage. It's happened before. It can happen again. 877-933-2484. And in the book, Dr. George, you open with a story about a couple named John and Amy. And you have so many stories, yeah. I don't even expect you to remember these, but do you?
Oh, yes.
This is why they pay you the big bucks. So tell us John and Amy's story.
Well, I was their pastor, and John and Amy came to me so that Amy could get absolution for her decision to get a divorce. I mean, they weren't looking for help. It's just, you're our pastor, you should know that I have made the decision to get a divorce. And I challenged John and Amy that I would encourage them to not give up on God just so quickly, but to allow God to do work in their marriage and life. And so they agreed that they would come see me, and I was going to equip them with basic tools and teach them how to pray as a couple and so on. We were doing this probably 6-7 months. I gave them all the best stuff I had. She was in love with the next-door neighbor and just couldn't get him out of her system. And so,
and she didn't want to break that off.
No,
so while
didn't.
John is with Amy trying to work on the marriage, right. She's got a boyfriend on the side.
Exactly.
And he knows it.
And he does know it. And I knew it, too. Mm-hmm. And my position in those sorts of things, obviously, to have someone that is interfering with a relationship is not a good idea, and I counseled with that. But my experience is you can't make somebody behave. God can. I can't.
Amen.
So we talked to that, and she was aware of that. And we would talk, what do we need to do to help you break this off? But the guy was still a part of it. So in a kind of a sense of desperation, I suggested maybe if you could just get out of town and have a wonderful vacation together, that might be what you need to finally get to the place where you need to be, because my best stuff wasn't working. Well, they came back from vacation, and he called first and said, it's over. I don't know what I was thinking. It's silly for me to try to work in this marriage when she's still in love with this other guy. I'm filing for divorce. It was 10 minutes later she called and said the same thing. I've had it. Florida, which is where they went, was awful, and I'm filing for divorce. And my heart just broke at that point. It's like, Lord, I know you can do what's impossible, and I want to believe that it's not too late yet for this couple. And I prayed and said, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take, but do something. And it was no later than 15 minutes later, she called me, and she said that she was driving around this city that had kind of a circle loop. It wasn't the Twin Cities, another city that had a circle loop around the city. And she saw a billboard. And the builder had some digits ending with pray. So, you know, 763, pray. It struck her as she saw the sign. She came home, turned on the TV, saw the same sign. I lived in that community for about 7 years. I never saw the sign, never saw anything on the TV. But anyway, she saw the sign, and she dialed that number. And she spoke to a prayer counselor for about 5 minutes. Now, I've been counseling them for months, hours and hours. But in 5 minutes, she's talked to a prayer counselor and heard the voice of God that told her she needed to save her marriage. So then she called me and said, this is what happened. What do you think? I said, well, this is what we've been praying for. This is fantastic. So that evening, we got together to tell her boyfriend that it was over. You know, I don't think he believed it, but she said it's over. And
let's, I just have to, because I'm such a sucker for stories, have to say, he comes in, they wrap up in a hug. He whispers, I love you.
Exactly.
She whispers back, I love you too.
Yep, exactly.
And then he's like, what are you doing here? Because you're sitting there.
Right.
Then she sits down and says, this isn't going to work. And he says, didn't you just tell me you loved me?
Yeah, exactly.
Take it from there.
Well, and then she said to him, I've heard the voice of God. And it's like, you did what? I mean, like, what is that supposed to mean? But I've heard the voice of God, and God has shown me I need to work on saving my marriage. I know he didn't believe that, but from that moment on, it's the difference between trying to do Christianity and allowing the power of God to enable you to do it in God's strength, not yours. Because from that moment on, God healed their marriage. And it was a few years ago, she came up to the Twin Cities to see me. And I introduced her to all the staff at our church. I said, this is the billboard lady. And they all knew who I was talking about. And then, you know, as she was there, it's like, I tell people you're the billboard lady. What do you tell people? And she said, I tell people it was a miracle of God that God did for me. And she's doing great in her marriage. That was, you know, she's been doing great now for 20 years.
That's amazing. 877-933-2484. Now we're going to take Dan from Minneapolis and Abby, I'm sorry, Amanda and George, you can both speak to this. Just want to give you a heads up. We have to be out for our hard break in about 3.5 minutes. So if we have to take the answer on the other side, we'll sure do that. Dan, welcome. You're on the air.
No, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Yeah, I was just listening to the show and I was just interested in seeing if there's any kind of, advice or something you could help me with. My marriage is I have a very good marriage. We're both staunch Christians, and but we've had a divide in the last 7 or 8 years of my marriage, in that we have doctrinal issues between our different denominations, and it's difficult in that, you know, we love each other and we both love the Lord, but and yet there's significant differences between us and that, and it's really fragmented.
Hmm. What do you say, John?
Everything.
Well, my background is theology. I was trained as a theologian and taught in seminaries. If you're from the Twin Cities, most recently at Bethel Seminary, I taught in the Old Testament department for a lot of years. And I think when we're looking at theology, it's important for us to say, what are the essentials? A lot of times we fight about things that are non-essential. And we need to sort that out. And you could say, who we think Jesus is, that's pretty important. What we think about the Bible.
Exactly. I understand that exactly. And I've been studying theology myself. I went to Bethel myself, actually.
Did.
And I've been in Bible study fellowship for 10 years, and I was a discussion leader in that. And I lead groups of prayer groups, and I've got a lot of background, but I've been studying the church history and the early church fathers and all these different aspects. I listened to a lot of debates between people like James White and, you know, and then there's other people on the Roman Catholic side, like Carl Keating and others, you know, Scott Hahn. I've studied all the materials and I've just, you know, come to the conclusion that there's a vast difference between the one essential that we're saved by faith alone, and that's not an essential that the Roman Church holds. And so it's been a huge divide, because my wife also has studied the Catholic side alone and, you know, does not believe that there's any, you know, that anybody can even question it. So, but it's been very divisive between us.
Well, within the Roman Catholic Church, it is such a big tent, and there's so many different theologians within the Catholic Church that strongly feel one thing or another. I do know here in the Twin Cities, we have a number of Roman Catholics who do believe that it's grace through Jesus Christ alone is the way of salvation. So we have a number of Catholics here that would be much like me and my background as a biblical Christian. That's what I call myself these days. But I mean, you would be able to find those within the Catholic Church that would feel very strongly about the importance of grace.
And we got to head out to break, Dan. So I want you to hang on, and Grace will get your information, and maybe George can get some information to you of those people. But this is a clear doctrinal divide, mm-hmm. And I'd love for you both to pick it up on the other side, because I can hear his angst, like, because he loves her and he believes, you know, we're saved by faith through grace, which Scripture says. I can see where that would be a tough one. And so, Dan, we're going to pick up the situation on the other side of the break, but we also welcome further calls if you've got them. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Dr. George Kenworthy and Dr. Amanda Boyd in a minute. glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to have Dr. George Kenworthy and Dr. Amanda Boyd in studio today to talk about marriage. And before the break, we had a caller that had a significant issue, a divisive issue, causing a real gap and a break in unity in marriage. And in kind of a synopsis, he's a Protestant, she's a Catholic, and so they argue on core doctrines of salvation. And it's caused a divide. And what I was thinking before the break, George, is you can hear the angst. And I can see why, because he's like, I want my wife to know saving grace. And maybe she doesn't feel like she needs it because of her theology. But I sure can see also where you can't debate someone in the kingdom or you can't argue them into the kingdom. Wondering if he needs to back off, love her, and pray his guts out. I mean, what do you say?
Well, of course, that's what Paul or what Peter says in First Peter. I mean, the advice he's given to wives in what to deal with, how to deal with a husband who is not behaving biblically, basically. And what he says is, you're not going to win that husband or with a word. You're going to win that husband with behavior. So what you need to do is demonstrate the kind of behavior that Sarah had, where she was responsive and demonstrated love to Abraham. And it's through your character and your behavior that you are more likely to see a spouse respond. And I look at this as a parent. My son wandered from God for about 12 years. Just about broke our hearts, and it was very difficult for us. He mocked his sister's faith and so on. And he's now serving God wonderfully and doing some incredible things. But there was this period where it was extremely difficult. And I wanted more than anything to change his behavior. And what I recognized is, as a parent of a teenager, it's hard to change their behavior by giving orders and trying to talk them into behavioral change. And then you think about the gospel. It's how does behavior work in terms of Scripture? Well, it works in that first I've got to know that Jesus loves me and he died for me and his grace is a free gift. If I get that, I'm going to be so indebted to Jesus and feel that indebtedness that I want to know more about Jesus, which is going to make me want to read the Bible, which will help me doctrinally. And then when I read the Bible, because I'm motivated by the love of Jesus, it's going to change my behavior. Mm-hmm. So behavioral change flows from grace to belief to behavior.
Wow.
So to me, that's the pattern. And so I would always tell anybody, you want to change the behavior of a spouse or a child, well, no, the best way to do that is show them the grace of Jesus. And then when they get that, then behavior change flows from that.
That's pure gold. Pure gold. Great advice. 877-933-2484. Dr. Amanda Boyd, want to chime in?
I liked, just very struck by how pertinent Dan's situation, although it seems unique, how pertinent it is to all of our marriages, because for him it's a doctrinal issue, but it's an affair, addiction, mental illness. Everybody's got something that just breaks their heart and breaks their marriage. And it's as pertinent as you allow it to be. It big or little. And not only is Dan's question so important, but George's advice is coming in and not being me and her, but us and then God, and approaching it that way, and just loving your spouse up.
Mm, so good. Amanda, I have a question for you about women, just because I've had this conversation with a number of women in my travels where, and I've heard it from the husbands as well, where one day the husband wakes up and the wife is shut down and says, I'm done. And the husband will say, this is the first I've heard of it. And there are times women stuff it, and then they blow and then they go. But other times they're like, no, I've been talking about this for a long time. But either way, how often it happens where the husband is shocked, but you see that the light has gone out in the wife's eyes, where she's like, my account is bankrupt. I mean, speak to how often you've seen that and what is the dynamic that tends to be behind it.
Over and over. And you may not love him anymore, and that's what we see. But it doesn't mean you can't. And it doesn't mean you can't start over and start over differently than the way you've been living and the way that you've been approaching your marriage.
You want to add?
Yeah, John Gottman is one of the foremost researchers. He has the Love Clinic out on the West Coast, where he videotapes couples from 9 o'clock in the morning or thereabouts till about 9 o'clock at night. The idea being, if you go to a counselor and a counselor advises you and maybe can de-escalate you and your spouse in his office, what good is that if you can't de-escalate yourself when you're alone? So he puts the cameras on folks to try to find out how they're really doing when the counselor isn't around, and then he measures things, even body temperature and a variety of other things. As he's done his research for the last 20 to 30 years, He suggested that in America today, what typically is true is that women are the critical spouse, which is why they're more likely to initiate divorce than the husband. The husband is the disengaged spouse who's not listening when his wife is being critical. He's just checking out on her, and then he's surprised when she announces divorce. They both are very sensitive to one another, so they both respond that way. And then he looks at that and says, well, actually, the truth is, even good marriages, you've got people that are critical, you got people that are disengaged, and you got people that are very defensive. But the telltale sign that your marriage is in trouble is when there's contempt. When you get to the point of a sense of helplessness and you're looking at your spouse and saying, it's your fault. It's all you. And I don't respect you anymore. I don't love you anymore. That is the predictor of divorce. But in America today, it is women that are far more likely to file for divorce than men because they tend to be the ones that are more critical, more dissatisfied with the marriage. And the husbands are just disengaged, typically.
And I mentioned this in the open, and I've read it before. I also read it in your book, that often in America, our default response is, this is painful, this is hard, I'm getting out. But stats have shown, I mean, faith aside, stats have shown that's not been the answer. Explain why the temporary, it's like trading your birthright for a bowl of soup. You know, you're letting go of this inheritance for immediate comfort. Talk about why getting out is not the answer in the long run.
Well, we do a lot of research on what's best practices and what's happening and so on. And now the research shows that 5 years after the typical person gets a divorce, there is 50% that have divorce remorse.
Wow.
Today, too, back in the 80s, there was this notion that kids are going to be okay if you get a divorce. Now there is just overwhelming evidence to show divorce hurts kids. It's to the point where it's irrefutable. But what we see happening is that most folks, when they get to the point of hopelessness, they feel like they've tried everything there is to try and there's nothing else to try. The secular researchers, these are now the people who don't have the power of God on their side, they're experiencing an 80 to 85% success rate in saving marriages. And you say, well, what's their secret? Well, their secret is they recognize that in marriage, you have to assume your responsibility. If it's all about me and my rights, it's like your marriage is already in trouble. You've got to assume your responsibility. You've got to recognize there are tools you probably don't have that if someone could give me, I could fix any problem that I have. And so the better marriage and family folks today are diagnosing what are the tools you don't have, and then we're going to give you those tools. And if we give you those tools, coach you on those tools, almost any marriage can be saved. And then, of course, if you've got the power of God, it's just so much more.
Amazing. And here's a quote from you, George, when you were counseling John and Amy. When you asked them three questions, we'll get to those in just a sec, but you said, on the authority of God's holy word, the Bible, and the power of his promises, I will absolutely guarantee that this marriage will come back together.
Yep.
Wow. I love that.
Well, I've gotten pushback. It is usually theologians that push back and say, you know, how can you say that? It's like, well, I think Bible tells me God hates divorce.
Yep.
I think Jesus says what God has put together, let no one put asunder. I think the Bible tells me that if I pray in faith, believing, you know, God is going to help me. And this is something that he wants. So what scripture am I not understanding?
So good. And as you said, if Jesus can raise his good friend Lazarus from the dead, he can raise a marriage from the dead. And so let's talk about these three questions. I'd love for both of you to chime in. Your three questions you ask, one is, do you believe that there's a God? So people coming in, Christians who are ready to give up, and maybe not Christians as well, but you ask, do you believe there's a God? I mean, that must just jolt them when they're ready to talk about issues. But you say, no, let's talk about God.
Exactly. Well, and part of it is, if you can say, people want to know what is our secret weapon. We've had a 90%+ success rate in saving even the most difficult of marriages. What's our success rate? What's our best tool? Here it is. Our best tool is, if you are stuck, God is never stuck. He's the God of creation. He created the universe. He can create something for you today. So what I want you to do, and I'll tell people, I don't know what to do. I want you to go home and you pray that God will help you find a way out of this, that he will get you unstuck through some kind of creative solution. And I will then just pray and wait. And then we hear amazing stories from folks of what God showed them to do to get them unstuck.
Is the truth that they probably have stopped praying up to this point where maybe they're in survival crisis management mode? And so that question, that's why it's so jarring to them?
Or they don't want him to answer yes.
Yeah.
Because
they made their mind up.
Yeah.
Wow. Second question, are you willing to apply the principles found in the Bible to your marriage? That's probably a scary proposition, because as she said, they have their mind made up.
Well, some of them do. Some of them, as I said, I had this one couple, you know, John and Amy, that came for absolution. They didn't come for marriage counseling. And I've had that happen often when people are not coming because they want me to help them. They just want to, you know, Pastor, we're getting a divorce and just thought you should know. I do see that a lot. But, you know, most of the folks that we see, too, since, you know, we do faith-based counseling, they would, in my opinion, delude themselves into thinking, I love God and I love the Bible. I'm going to do what it says. In fact, I've done everything that it says. And then you can say, really? Really? Have you done everything? And they'll probably try to say, yeah, I've done everything. It's my spouse. They're the ones that are the problem. They're the ones that are being disobedient. And that's why I've got to file for divorce.
And what do you say in that case?
Well, what I say in that case is that the only person you can work on is you. And then we have lots of power stories. We have people we call ambassadors of hope. That will share their story with anybody about how God saved their marriage.
Wow.
And then we just have them talk to one of those folks. And there are a bunch of them who are the presumed believer, married to somebody who wasn't a believer, and still saw God intervene and do something. So we say, you can only worry about you, but I got some folks you can talk to who can encourage you as to what can happen as you just do your part and let God do his.
Well, that's a great point, because if you look at just the easy out culture and how normalized some of these default choices are that are really so destructive, it sort of normalizes it in your brain. But if suddenly you see a new standard, a new possibility out of a testimony, it lifts your eyes to go, okay, you know what? Because I think Ann Voskamp says you become what you behold. If you stare at other options long enough, you think I'm in the pool of normal, yeah. But God wants to do extraordinary things. What do you say?
And we've distorted marriage to where, I think part of that biblical principles is viewing marriage the way God has intended it and for what purpose. And, to be willing to give your spouse grace, because isn't that what the gospel's about for us? And I know for my marriage, it's that's the most beautiful thing about the Lord. And so as a wife, that's what I need to do. And I need to be willing to hold on in that interim when you are lacking faith or when you're waiting on God. And I think it's both. It's if you're not holding on and you're not being patient, it's also not going to work. So you have to do both.
So good. Okay, so the two questions we've covered so far is, do you believe there's a God? And then, are you willing to apply the principles found in the Bible to your marriage? And the third question, will you pray for God to strengthen you and your spouse? How do most people respond to that question?
Well, most are not accustomed to that question, because we don't do a lot with praying for the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so this is sort of foreign to them. I have had one person tell me once, I don't want to do that because I'm afraid if I do, I think God might save my marriage. So I have had that response. But for most of the people that we see, they're like my friend Mike, where they're legalists and they're trying to do everything on their own power, and that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So it comes in this challenge, as I mentioned earlier, when you say, I don't know what God's going to do for you, but you're obviously stuck. Let's pray that God do something. You know, one story, there was a gal that was in love with a guy at work. He spoke her love language, which was words of affirmation. In one session, she actually brought a love letter that her lover had written for her. And I read it. I about cried. It was wonderful. And I looked at her husband, who was not a man of words, and I said, basically, good luck. I mean, what are you going to do? But she needs words of affirmation. So I basically said, I don't know what to tell you guys, but I do know God does. So I want you to go home, you pray, and see what God gives you. A couple weeks later, they came back, and I said, did God show you how to get out of this? And the wife said, well, I think so. And, well, tell me what happened. Well, my husband started writing on 3x5 cards. So little 3x5 cards, two sentences. Every morning, every evening, he put a 3x5 card on the mirror in the master bedroom. And I said, what did the card say? Well, one of them was, Amy, I love the way you love our girls. You know, love, Jim. Another one was, Amy, when we were up at the lake, and the sun shined through your hair, you look like an angel, you know. And then love, you know, the husband again. So I looked at the wife at that point and said, have you kept the cards? And she reached into her purse, pulled out of a stack of cards of like 4 inches. She kept them and carried them with her every place she went. I said, how's this working? Now there are tears streaming down her face. And it was the technique that saved their marriage that I didn't give them.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. I love stories. Love stories like this. Talking to Dr. George Kenworthy, Dr. Amanda Boyd, there's always hope. Don't give up hope. If you want to call in anonymously, if you're struggling, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got a success story, we want to hear that too. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. That God will finish what he's begun. And here's the truth. Your best case scenario in marriage is with the person that you're with. Unless you're in an abusive situation, which George can speak to in a moment. But truly, the answer isn't another spouse. And if you walk through the valley of the shadow and you apply some of these principles and you come out the other side, you'll thrive in a way that trying to find it again and again in other people, you just can't find. I mean, that's true, too. I know that from reading stats, and you guys are experts. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so important. Well, one of the things that you ask is when people or couples come in and they're on the brink of divorce, to ask them to pray for these three things. I love it. For strength, hope, and love. How is that request met, and what happens when you ask these couples to pray in such a way?
Well, and I ask them to pray with expectation, because if, you know, we're praying, we don't expect God to do anything, then, you know, we generally don't see much. But I originally, the first book, Marriage Makeover, my title was Dare to Hope Again. Because in my years of working with couples, it's hopelessness that is the overwhelming thing. You know, my publisher, Family Life, out of Little Rock, Arkansas, they decided Marriage Makeover was a better title. Hmm. But the reason for Dare to Hope Again is that's the issue that I see. If it was just as simple as, you know, read this passage of Scripture, you'll be fine. I got lots of passages of Scripture that people can read. But it's getting past hopelessness. That's the issue. So praying for strength is kind of foundational. That's where most everybody needs to start. It's getting through the emotional sludge. You know, I don't love him anymore, and I'm not sure I ever loved him or her anymore. It's that, and I'm feeling hopeless. So, and then the power is I feel helpless. So, if you're feeling helpless, that's more on you than it is your spouse. And then the hope is obvious. I mean, it's hope is what you don't have. And what we'll tell folks, there's nobody that is capable of robbing you of your joy, or your power, or your strength, or your hope. That comes from Jesus. So you can't point your finger at your spouse and say, he or she is the one making me mad or sad or bad. They can't do it. You have your joy in Jesus. So that's a starting point always for us. Just it's a conviction about who is God in your life and what can God produce in you.
So good. So interesting. And I've heard this before as well, how you both mentioned some couples don't want to pray because they have a feeling they know what God's going to say. But isn't that a testament to where they've put God, as far as that he can't be good because my will for me is my best case scenario over what God wants for me? Truly, there's a miss there and a deception or something to think, I don't want to hear from him because my choice is best, at least for the moment. I mean, what do you say?
My plan is better than his.
Yeah, isn't that it? Yeah. And that, but people who choose that find out that's wrong. You know, I remember one time we did a show on near misses and those who actually fell, and just as far as guarding your heart, and that these are strong Christian people who got so busy and, you know, change the rules one step at a time till they found themselves in trouble. And some were calling in and honestly saying, you know, I had an emotional affair, but thank the Lord I didn't cross the line. But one woman said, and her voice just cracked, and she said, you know, I thought the burden of my obedience to God at that moment would be heavier, given the current state of my marriage, than the consequence of my sin of cheating. She says, I'm here to tell you, I couldn't be more wrong. What I am dealing with now, I would have given anything to back up and obey God when it didn't suit me. I bet everybody feels that way when they take matters into their own hands, huh?
Well, eventually. I mean, they don't feel that initially, but eventually they're going to feel that for sure. Yeah.
I was so interested in your book, George. You were asked to sit in on hostility therapy.
Yes.
Talk about that.
It was awful.
That sounds terrible.
I was back in a day when the feeling was that the best thing you do with your anger is get it out, which is a philosophy from the pit of hell. But there was a psychologist who felt like this wife, whose name ironically was Faith, she happened also to be a pastor's daughter, that she needed to get all of her hostility out against her husband. And I was there to make sure the husband was muzzled. And we listened for an hour as she ranted and raved and vented all this hostility. And in the course of the time, among other things we learned, is that she was a deep water fish. That was the analogy. And her husband was a shallow water fish, and that's why she found him so maddening. Later I learned that the psychologist who had led us through this hostility therapy session himself, interestingly enough, was a deep water fish. And it wasn't long after that that she divorced her husband and married her psychologist.
Whoa.
So the hostility therapy did not work. Wow. It just doesn't
work.
What
did it do to his soul when he was sitting there listening to all that?
Well, I mean, I
words kill.
Yeah, words do kill. And you know, we spent some time afterwards. We're trying to encourage him. And, you know, we're doing this because of your love for your wife. And that was his motivation. And some of it was, you know, he'd heard some of the stuff before, just not an hour where he was corralled and had to sit there and listen to it for an hour.
Well, that's one of the things you said in the book, is that we have this misnomer that if we feel anger, we're entitled to vent it as if it's healthy. Say a word, because anger comes up in marriage a lot, and I'm sure you both see that. Love for you actually both to speak about what to do with anger, where to put it, because it's like dynamite, you know?
Well, it starts with, you know, for us, with our kind of foundational, a biblical assumption. Well, it's not even an assumption. It's what the Bible declares. That I can have joy and happiness because of my relationship with Jesus. I mean, that's from the book of Philippians. You know, the Philippian church was concerned that Paul couldn't be happy because he had people that were preaching out of envy and strife, trying to make Paul miserable. He was in a Roman jail with a death sentence over his head. How could he be happy? And Paul writes back to let them know, not only is he happy, he has pure joy. Hmm. He's learned to be content in whatever circumstances, Paul tells us. And to me, that's basic. If that's true, then no one can make me angry but me. Most of us will, when we're talking about our own anger, we won't call it anger. We call it hurt, because if we label it hurt, then that gives us an excuse to harbor it. If we call it hurt, we can say somebody is giving me this hurt. It's not my hurt. It's my husband's spouse that's making me hurt. And a lot of it is just starting. Where does the Bible tell us we should start? And it starts with, it doesn't matter who your wife is, who your husband is, what they have done. Your joy is your own. You need to claim it. And that's the way to be free.
And it's really important to mention, too, because some spouses choose things that are so excruciating and they're legitimately painful. And we got to deal with that. I mean, I really believe God cares so deeply what happens to us, but he wants to get at what it's done in us first. So make that distinction, if you would, Amanda, just that there. I mean, I'm thinking of somebody listening going, but you don't even know what he did. And it was so painful, so rude, so inconsiderate. And so you're not, you know, saying that's not a legitimate pain. It's just that you get to process it in a way that it doesn't poison us and kill our relationships.
Sure. Yeah, you can. You're going to be hurt and you're going to be angry, and but don't be destructive. And that's where people get to that point and they are toxic, and their spouse needs to say, we need to see someone.
And so process through the anger.
Well, a lot of it is people don't know how to deal with anger and depression and so on. And a lot of it is diagnosis. There is circumstantial stress, and you handle circumstantial stress very differently than you handle grief. And grief is another kind of thing that can lead to depression. That's very different than stinking thinking, which is a third type of thing that can lead you to grief. And then there's the biophysical stuff, bad nutrition, lack of sleep, you know, your body isn't producing something that it needs. And then there's spiritual stress. And in helping people who are dealing with anger / depression / grief or whatever, it's determining which of these factors are the factors that are helping them. And I can say, as a counselor, one of the easiest things to do is help people through this. But you have to know what the real cause of it is.
Oh, guys, this has been so great. We didn't even get to the first responder, Friends First Responder Program. You guys got to come back. There's so much more we can talk about. I'm just assuming. Mm-hmm. Will you come back?
Certainly.
Okay. Where can people find you on the web? Because there's lots of information there.
Our website is hopefortheherdinghome.com.
Hopefortheherdinghome.com. We've got about 30 seconds or so. George, would you mind just praying for the marriages represented in our listening audience today?
Our God and Heavenly Father, we pause to acknowledge that you are the awesome God of the universe who created everything. And then for those of us who are ever feeling stuck, either stuck in our own walk with you or our own understanding of you, or stuck in our marriage, that you have the capability yet through your creative power and energy to help us to see something we're not seeing, to give us the strength to do something we feel incapable of doing, to help us to be something that we think we can never be. And so, God, we pray for that strength. We pray for that power. We pray for that hope that you alone can give us. May you glorify yourself through what we say and do today and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Amanda, Dr. George, thanks for joining us today. Look forward to having you back next time. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast in just a little bit up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, I say it to you most days, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed, blessed day.